Welcome to another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie with your host, Tofu Dave, on Community Radio WCOM Chapel Hill and Carver. Today, we have on the line Elizabeth Rosenthal, who just wrote a new book, The Master of Drums, Gene Krupa and the Music He Gave the World. Hello, Elizabeth. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, you're loud and clear, and you know, I read your book, and I got real excited because, to be honest with you, Gene Krupa is a drummer I didn't know much about. From the music world, I was familiar with names like, say, Max Roach, who many of my listeners know as a very famous jazz drummer.
Yes, that's right.
Gene Krupa, he sounds like he was an interesting guy. Had a lot of effect on the musical world. You want to give a little background on who he was and why you decided to write this book about him?
Well, I could start with the fact that, he was born in Chicago in 1909, which, of course, sounds like a really long time ago, and it was, and to a Polish immigrant family. In the 1920s, he was very fortunate to be in a city where the jazz scene was really hopping, and you had all these musicians coming up from New Orleans to Chicago. And so Gene Krupa and a number of his friends had the opportunity to hear these great people, even Louis Armstrong, and also some of the early drummers like Baby Dots and Zooty Singleton. And other early seminal names.
Now, back in the day, he was even in Benny Goodman's band, wasn't he?
Right. That came in the 30s. So the interesting thing about Gene Krupa is, maybe not a lot of people know this, but he himself was actually a seminal figure in the development of jazz, drums and jazz in general. Mm-hmm. And so he eventually went to New York. From Chicago, as did many of the musicians who were sort of hanging out and loving jazz in Chicago. And what happened with Gene was he became the most sought after session musician, sideman for all these different bands that were not necessarily jazz bands. Now, what happened with Benny Goodman, and this was several years later, in 1934, December, Gene Krupa finally had the opportunity to play with a big band that played actual jazz. One thing I could mention also is that the problem was that for white musicians, it was hard to find jobs playing real jazz because, unfortunately, there was segregation. And so African-American musicians played themselves, their bands in places like Harlem and elsewhere. And white musicians, there was no integration, let's just put it that way.
That's a simpler way to put it, but one of the things you have in the book that's so exciting is how he sort of tried to break some of those bounds and wasn't Roy Eldridge somehow involved with some of that early on? I'm not remembering all the details there.
Yes, absolutely. So when Gene finally went out on his own after Benny Goodman to found his own band, he started with a very interesting vocalist and musician named Leo Watson, who was a very, very early scat vocalist and was really kind of a wild and crazy guy and had a really unusual sound. He was African American, and Gene hired him for a while in the very beginning of Gene's big band. And then later on, he was already a very good friend of Roy Eldridge's. He was a wonderful, amazing trumpet player who has been considered a bridge between Louis Armstrong and maybe Dizzy Gillespie or other people like that. And Roy Eldridge was, of course, an amazing talent, and he and Gene, being such close friends, Gene decided, well, he wants Roy in his band. And it wasn't easy at first, and the management tried to talk him out of it, And also, Roy Eldridge had his own contractual obligations. But finally, he was able to come into the band about spring of 1941. And he might have stayed even past World War II, but unfortunately, as you may know, Gene Krupa had a sort of a run-in with the law concerning marijuana, which put his career on hold for over a year.
Yeah, now again, the book, The Master of Drums by Elizabeth Rosenthal, Gene Krupa, master drummer. We're going into his history, and look, this is a quickie, so we're going to jump fast forward.
Okay.
And this is a good segue, because you brought up how Mr. Krupa was an aficionado of various smoking products, marijuana.
Well, and just the scene was marijuana.
Right, but the scene was so different back then. Now,
yes.
Of course, we got stores where you can walk in many states and,
yes,
and buy the stuff. Back then, it was a whole different thing. He got derailed, but he really didn't derail musically.
Rock and roll
aficionados, musicians, knew this guy, loved him, right?
Oh, yes. He was what you would call an early influence on the development of rock and roll. He essentially brought what later became called the Bo Diddley Beat. He was one of the first people to use that beat, and I'm talking about back in the 1930s and the 40s. And the interesting thing is that some of the drummers who worked with Bo Diddley talk about how they had been fans of Gene Krupa. They said that they had originated the beat themselves, but it seems likely that because they were fans of Gene Krupa, they probably picked it up from him. I'm not saying definitively that that's what happened, but I think so, since Gene Krupa really dominated the drumming field for the 30s and the 40s and even the 50s.
The early field. I mean, he was the first drummer, you say, on a Billie Holiday recording. I caught that.
That's right. Billie Holiday's very first recording in 1933. Gene Krupa was her very first drummer. Now, it was just for that session. They only did a couple of songs.
Yeah,
but
hey, that's significant. And you use the term in your book, I believe, acolytes, which in common parlance, I mean, that means people that looked up to him. And again, skipping ahead, of course, Ringo Starr.
Yes.
Keith Moon. These are all people that would say, hey, who would I look up to as a drummer? Gene Krupa.
Well, they idolized him. They idolized him. And John Bonham called him God. With a small G, I guess.
We have a lot of musicians who listen to my show. We've got a great indie music scene here. But I think any successful musician would still tell you they have their own heroes, their own people they look to musically as their influence. So here's a name, again, the master of drums, Gene Krupa.
He
may not be a name people know now, but he really influenced a lot of the music we love and listen to now.
Yes, and beginning even in the 50s, if you've heard of Dick Dale and some of the early electric guitar players, late 50s, early 60s, Dick Dale himself was considered a huge influence on later guitarists, as well as surf music and the Beach Boys, and then later guitarists too, like Jimi Hendrix and the hard rock sound. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, since Dick Dale himself loved Gene Krupa's style of drumming, he tried to do with his electric guitar what Gene was doing on drums. And again, it was a kind of a very driving sound that was very unusual for the time. And so you had people who love to listen to Dick Dale who were, like, for example, Jimi Hendrix and other people who played really hard rock guitar and took it from there. And of course, that was a big genre of music in the 70s and 80s.
Yep,
so,
yep.
I mean, Gene Krupa would never, not necessarily have ever thought that he would have influenced all these rockers, because, strangely enough, he was not a rock fan himself.
Well, you know, but he was, as you titled your book, The Master of Drums. Elizabeth Rosenthal, thank you so much for being with us here on Between the Covers. Any last notes you'd have for our listening audience?
Well, I would just say that Gene Krupa, the reason, one of the big reasons why he was so influential was that he was an amazingly exciting drummer. He drummed very assertively. He was the one who brought drums to the forefront. Drums had not been an important instrument in any band before then. And so he was a pioneer just in that respect, really just an invaluable contributor to jazz and pop music.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Between the Covers, a literature quickie. This is your host, Tofu Dave. We'll be back at you again next time.